Right, good afternoon from Siberia. I'm Thomas Grichel, and my talk today is about IR repository data in OrthoClaim. This is joint work with Wolfram Horstmann. I'm going to talk a little bit about our backgrounds a little further. You know, I'm actually here in my summer home. I normally teach in the Long Island University in New York, but I'm in my summer home in Novosibirsk here, so I'm 6 hours ahead of you guys. Thank you for inviting me to give this presentation, and I also would like to extend my thanks to the people who have been working on the base system, which is the source of the data I'm going to be describing today, so on the IR repositories. So I'm going to structure it roughly is that I'm going to have a little bit about the background of the work that we're doing here that's described here. Going to talk about the Freelib dataset and about author claiming and the author claim system, about the base system and its relationship to author claiming and author claim and base and institutional repositories within base. So a little bit about background about us. Wolfram Horstmann, I'm sure some of you know it because he's been involved in European projects, right? He's currently the Chief Information Officer for Scholarly Information at Bielefeld University. And Bielefeld University have a long tradition of being a technologically driven university with a technologically driven library. And as part of this tradition, really, they've been running the base search engine since 2004, base standing year for the Bielefeld Academic Search Engine. And it's basically a concern of them that has been going on for a number of years, that they've been pushing forward. And it's work that they're doing that is not immediately dependent on any funding source. So it's not really attached to any funded project that they will be starting or finished. They've been working on this for a long time already, independently of funded work. A little bit about background about me. You may have heard my name in conjunction with probably what is my main reason for complacency, which is the creation of the Repec Digital Library in the early 1990s, really starting about 1991 and so on. And I've been building this through its very, very early stages over the long run. And it's a long-run concern of mine, and so I'm into, you know, building things over the long term, which, you know, in some ways brings me close to the concerns that they have in Bielefeld, right? And a little bit about RAPIC, the motivation there was at the time to make papers freely available, and my inspiration has been the free software movement, you know, which already was working in the early 1990s, right, and make academic information similarly available in similar ways as we can make software freely available, right? So it's both the papers themselves, the full text, as well as the structure of information that surrounds the creation of this full text, the people who are creating, the writing the full text, as well as the institutions that sustain this process, right? And all of this has always been a concern of mine, to build something that is long running and doesn't really rely on anything external, is hopefully decentralized so that it can perpetuate itself or at least run in the long run, right? Now, RAPEC is often misunderstood as a repository for economics. A lot of people say, oh, well, economics, the EPIC is the economics repository. It isn't really, right? It is a collection of about, in a moment, I think numbers are rising. I think the last time I looked at it was about 1,350 institutional repositories, right? So they are institutional repositories that are run by institutions. Mainly these institutions are economics departments and research centers that provide research in economics. Of course, since I started this in the 1990s, it really predates OAI, right? It's also, compared to institutional repositories, has a more reduced business model. And the repositories that, you know, constitute the REPEC digital library, really, are interoperable in a more tightly way than you would do in an institutional repository. Since an institutional repository, you know, contains things that may be of a disparate nature, where you can't interoperate them as easily as in a REPEC system, right? So REPEC overall is considered a success, and you know, there's a lot of reasons for why this is a success, right? One is the business case, I mean, the way it's built, but then there's also some technical matters that make REPEC a success, and both of them can in some ways be linked, right? They're linked together, you know, right? So in terms of the business case, really, we're trying to, to decentralize as much as we can our operation. The centralized service really rely on volunteer power mainly. The institutional depositories, of course, may be run by people who do this as part of their jobs, but the overall coordination really is done by volunteers. And we encourage the reuse of APIC data. So this is something we're concerned. We're trying to aggressively, push out the data that we have collected. So because we believe that this is in the best interest of the people who are maintaining these repositories. All right. Technically, the technical success in APIC, I think, really comes from showing that it works for the authors and the institutions. And in order to do that, we first have to register the authors. And that's what we've been doing in the REPEC author service. And that's related to the author claim service that I'm going to be talking about, right? We're also registering institutions, right? And then we are providing evaluative data for authors and institutions. And this evaluative data is taken pretty seriously within the profession these days. I can give some anecdotal evidence of this, but it's been maybe a success, right? Okay, so what's the relationship between REPEC and institutional repositories? Well, really, REPEC is not a repository, right? So really, you can think about it as a bibliographic layer over repositories, where the term bibliographic probably is a little bit taking a large term, because we're not only talking about the description of documents, but also about the surrounding reality. And I think the surrounding reality is possibly more important, right? And institutional repositories will really benefit, I think, from a similar layer constructed around them, right? A free bibliographic layer that will place the repository contents into a greater context, right? And again, what do I think is the requirement for such a layer? Again, it shouldn't be dependent on some external fund, that it can't be run on, the usual disk-funded projects. It's got to be freely reusable instantaneously, and I think there will be some people who are going to be the proponent of, open bibliographic data. It's precisely that sort of data that I'm talking about, the freely reusable. So it is in some ways open, right? And in some ways, it must be there for the long run, right? And in principle, this just relates to also to institutional repositories. I mean, institutional repositories really are there for the long run. And I think, it's the right way to proceed. And that's why I think we're all sitting in the same boat in some ways, right? So in some ways, what we want to be constructing and what I've been thinking about and working on, slowly, is some sort of, it's the start of a REPEC really for all disciplines, right? So I'm talking about a freelib project, which basically is going to be, essentially a set of bibliographic data for research papers or research documents, right? So, and then a claiming service where one can claim, authors can claim these documents. And there's also a institutional registration service, which in REPEC is eDIRC. Which in the interdisciplinary situation will be something called ARIF, which stands for the Academic and Research Institutions in the World. I'm not going to talk about this simply for constraints of time. It will be a topic for another day. Okay, so let's briefly talk about freelib. So basically, it's an initial attempt really at building an aggregate of freely available bibliographic data, right? So it's not necessarily openly available in the sense that there is some agreed reusability statement coming with it, right? It's just simply, out there, right? It's a project basically from the Open Library Society, which is a society I created to support this work. And it's sponsored by the Open Knowledge Foundation, who are actually providing the server where the data lies, right? It's about 35 million records at the moment from the usual suspects, right? So it's PubMed, Open Library, DBLP, REPEC, and some others, which you can have a look at the freelib website, freelib.org, and you see what's actually available, right? And the data elements in freelib are really very simple. At this time, it's really, the title, what I gave is a title for a paper, right? Author name expressions, so who wrote the papers, right? These are not really authors, but names, like name expressions for them. And then some link to where the provider has further information about it and then some sort of identifier that makes this record available in the long run and identifiable, right? And really, the reason why we're doing this, well, first of all, these are factual data, so we're not really constrained by copyright issues over these data. And secondly, this data really is meant to serve an author claiming procedure, and this author claiming procedure actually can operate with that sort of simple data. It doesn't really need any further data such as subject classifications or abstract or anything, right? So I've been working on this since about 2008, right? Building an authorship claiming service that is, you know, produces instantly freely available and reusable information. And it lives at authorclaim.org, right? So it runs on the same software as the Epic Author Service, and that software is also freely available. A little bit of background about author claiming. I mean, author claiming is really something I first started with the Epic Author Service about 1999. I think I was the first one to actually set this up, right? So it's the idea that an author can come to a website and register claims in on these works, right? But then there have been others coming along, right? So the Institute of Scientific Information created Researcher ID. Archive have a system, right? The NIH are working on something. Google Scholar are doing something at this. So this has really become a crowded field. And on top of this, there is an initiative that looks into author identification, right? Now, author identification is somewhat broader than author claiming. It's more difficult to understand what author identification actually is. I don't want to go into all of this, these details here, but yeah. Author claiming really isn't the same thing as author identification, right? So the difference, I call that Clink's problem. Clink's problem basically is that a person can claim to be an author of a paper, but there are several authors, and we don't know what author that person was, right? So assumingly, Jane and John Smith wrote a paper together, right? And the author list says J. Smith and J. Smith. And we don't know if Jane or John were the first authors. Now, you may say this is not something that is all that that relevant in practice, since we can always make some sort of regular expression matching. And in fact, yes, it's true. We can mostly deal with this. But there is a theoretical difference. And I think this is one of the issues that, you know, I believe clouds the whole issue of author identification and makes it difficult to understand what it actually is, even for people who have been working on this for a while, right? But let's turn to author claim data. The actual author claim data lives on an FTP server, ftpauthorclaim.org. It's available there. It has explicit licensed in CC0. So you can take that data and, you know, and use it, right? And an example data is here's a data structure, basically. I mean, this is XML data. I'm not showing an XML file. It would take too much space here. But the structure is that there is an identifier, right? There are name variations of the person. And then there is the papers that the person has claimed are his, and the paper he claimed were not his, right? So the papers that he has refused. Now, you may say, Thomas, what's the point of having the data about the refused papers? Well, it's actually very important to have those because we can build computer learning models, right? Knowing which papers that the person has refused will be able to allow us to distinguish Joff Builder from somebody else who is also called Joff Builder but has done different work, right? And for that, we use computer learning, and actually works quite successfully, and it's actually built into the operations of author claim itself, right? I'm going to spare you technical details, right? So how should author identification really work? Generally, author identification is difficult to perform in institutional repositories because they're just simply too large to do it by institutional repository staff, right? So staff can't really do it very easily. Usually, we require a registration of contributors or at least some sort of depositor, right? And I believe that is going to be continuing to be the case. And institutional repositories are also too small really to make it meaningful for authors to claim papers directly in them, right? And there is a way when you can say, okay, you know, we could have, you know, author claiming in each institutional repository with each, or generally with each publisher out there, publishing in the sense of making work public, and then have some sort of other layer that will actually unite these different claims. I think this is possibly where ORCID is going to be going towards. Still, I believe, you know, doing it for all of these different publishers separately is going to be problematic for authors to do, right? So what is the benefit of author claiming for an institutional repository? Well, if your papers have been claimed in author claim, you can get that data, and then you can build an author page for your institutional repository, and that author page can be completely automated, right? So you can look up from the identifiers that you're getting from author claim, which are your internal papers, and you can link to them directly. And for the others, you have a link to an external service that is going to be linking to an external service, and then people can from there go to an external service and actually reach the paper there, right? And your authors are going to see, well, for certain papers I have more data available, I have abstracts and have subject classification and so on. Well, that's the paper that are in the institutional repositories, so you have an incentive for people to actually deposit more and make this complete, right? Okay, to get this done in practical terms, what does that mean? Well, all we have to do is to harvest all the institutional repositories and make them available in author claim. It's not easily to be done, because there are already 2,000 institutional repositories. Therefore, to do this, I've been looking for a partner, and the partner found is BASE, right? So we need some sort of a centralized collection for this material so that I can get it from via that centralized collection. And BASE is already doing this particular job. So BASE can really deliver all this data to author claim, and they have started to do so, right? So basically what they are doing is they're monitoring the OEI PMH world, right? They configure, you know, the harvesting for each repository, right? And they provide metadata stores, both for the raw data, mainly OEIDC, and for some normalized data that they're producing out of these data, be using some sort of matching to an internal metadata format, right? And so we need for certain things, you know, because the heterogeneous these in OIDC, right? There's some cleaning that they're doing for type, state, language, right? And also they provide some subject classifications, right? They provide search services for this, right? An API, you know, for index by use by third parties and so on. There is a repository profile service. I use those directly for author claim in order to get profiles of repositories, right? And there is a access store for the raw metadata. I'm not sure if there is something. I think it's being in process of being built for the data that has been normalized, right? And they did a specific rsync for me to put things into the freelib collection and then later into author claim, and that's what is currently happening at this time, right? Remember that to have things in freelib, I need to have these four elements, right? I need to have the author, the title, the link, and the identifier, right? It's okay. Generally, the author and the title are easy to find. The identifier we can construct by some sort of grandfathering procedure, but it's a bit more difficult because the identifier can be put into different places. The real problem is the link, right? So I need to have some sort of link for a web page that gives me further information about that item. There's no OIDC field for that, and you know there's a lot of ways in which different repositories are actually going about this. BASE have done this. They have united these and link and have a specific field for this that I actually use and that they're exporting to me, right? I also use the repository profile to do some exclusion of some repositories which I think do have material, with all due respect, that I don't really need in author claim, at least not with priority, right? So works for students, I usually, in a thesis and dissertations, digitized old material, no pharaoh is going to come and claim his writings. Link collection, which, you know, the authorship is a problematic thing, and primary search data, obviously authorship of primary search data isn't at this time as something that people are going to be claiming, although in principle, you know, author claim can be extended to, you know, editorships and, you know, guess hunter and gather of datership and so on. It is in principle extensible, right? There's some minor manual exclusions. For example, I exclude UK PubMed Central because it's already in PubMed, right? So this is okay. My results so far, I have about 19, 13, what are 1930 repositories, 1930 repositories. I just did a count today. There are about 12 million records in there. From an earlier set that I got from them, which did the, was the records, some repositories and driver, I have about 535, 34 records already claimed in the system, which I changed the identifier to go to the new collection. I have some documentation about what is available, right? Which is in and that that URL that meets a little bit of debugging and watching if everything is all right, but in principle, you know, most of the information is there. And if you're looking at AuthorClaim actually doesn't announce this collection as being there because it's still being read. I am not sure how long it's going to take. For this presentation, I actually hope to have most of the UK archives read. I haven't done that. I'm reading at the moment a subset that is from the UK. I mean, UCL, for example, the other day I've seen Biomed Central and so on. So for those that are in the UK, they're already there and they're available. But as it takes, you know, to 12 to read the 12 million records will actually take me some more time, at least, and possibly a few weeks, right? If you want to have more information about this, you know, just simply contact us, especially if you want to be, you know, working with the base material. You know, I encourage you to talk to Wolfram and talk to me if you want to be, you know, harvesting and using information from AuthorClaim and build them into your repositories. I'd be happy to check us out how this works, right? I think this brings me to the end, right? Now, are there any questions? Blue Lizard Media? Clapping? Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you. I didn't hear the clapping, but I mean, it's okay to be sitting here and you know, not having people stare at you. One does appear to be more relaxed, really. Okay, hi Thomas. Okay. Oh. Preterm rust, yeah. Has all that has been done by you? Have you found this? Actually, I'm not providing search services for repositories, right? Base provides search services for repositories, right? I'm not directly providing search. I mean, I'm working on a search service for authors, and that's a project called Author Profile, which I talked at the ORCID meeting in Boston in June. It's a different type of approach. There, I'm going to be looking at, you know, searching for authors and bringing their works together and linking between identified authors and author name expressions. So I'm actually not doing searching at this time, right? I believe that, you know, we don't really need all that much in terms of searching if we have Google, right? What we need to do is we need to do more to have elements in repositories being more broadly visible in search engines, including Google. And one of the ways to do that is particularly if you think about the PageRank algorithm that search engines use. It's to make the work more linked. That means bringing in more links to these items that are in repositories, right? So An author profile that is used in a third-party application will create inbound links to the element, contrary to something what a search engine will do, which create a one-off, pointer to it in a web page that has been generated by the search engine, right? So it creates a link to it. And these links will push the documents in repositories up the search engine ladder, right? So I'm not particularly doing search engine at this time, but I mean, I think we need to be all working together on different things, right? I'm going to try to get this to run, and this is going to be taking me probably some time to do, and probably busy me until the end of my working life. And I'm sure other people are going to be working on search engines, and that's going to keep them busy. But what we need is we need to be working together. I'm not sure if this is what you wanted to ask. Great, yeah. Okay, that's it. Well, have a good day in Edinburgh, right? I'm going to go off to the beach. So, right. Good day. Too long? No. Take me off. Close.